Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Talk with Jordan, High Tech on the Low. Teddy, how are you today?
Great. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm great. Thank you for coming. Really an honor to have you here today, I want to say. I remember when we first met almost 2 years ago in a Startup Anonymous that program that Front Team did a few years ago. And now to see you here in the podcast and to have you as a guest is just unbelievable, and I really appreciate it. So very excited to have you here today. You're also, I have to add, you're the first guest in the office studio that we have now since post-COVID. So I'm very excited. So you are not only an exciting guest to have for me, but you're breaking in the studio. So how does that make you feel?
Yeah, it's great to come back to the offices. As everybody else was locked down in my house for a bit. So it's amazing to not just travel between clients, etc. It's like see people for a while, I didn't see people, so it's great to be here and in general, come back to life from the COVID stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, it's been a while since we've all seen each other face to face, especially to be able to have these type of conversations where we're actually having conversation in a podcast, right? I'm like talking to you face to face. I have only done, video ones for a while now, so it's been crazy. There was only the last episode was actually the one that I did for like the first time in person. So it was crazy. But I'm really happy that you're here. I'm really glad we can, talk a little bit about what it is that you do, which is so amazing in my mind. And when I first heard about it, many years ago, I thought I was just blown away. And now to also hear about the new projects that you're in and all the new things that you're doing is beyond interesting. So, what I'd like to do is just, get right into everything and kind of, talk about what I have deemed as being algorithm as a business is what I like to describe it as, right? We're in this world, we're in the digital world, we're in the machine learning, AI, everyone likes to put that in their startup nowadays, right? And everything is around algorithms, right? But what I find very interesting about you is that you had for a while this whole idea of algorithms as like an outsourced service that you would provide people, that you would kind of build them their algorithm that they needed for their specific project, their business, whatever it was. And I think that's a very unique, business model and not something that everyone is doing definitely nowadays. I'd love if you could just maybe kind of explain to everyone at home who you are a little bit and what it is, this whole algorithmic, outsourced model that you started with. And let's take it from there.
So, okay, I will answer your questions one at a time. So actually, algorithm as a service is not quite a new idea. So we have like the software as a service, like auto software. So developing website, developing applications, you see like companies all over the place, the Israeli, the Ukraine, the Indian, and really all over the world. So mm-hmm. You have a better player, better companies, both companies as usual in any kind of business. So the idea of I don't want to handle most everything or partial of my development team inside and get it as an outsource is a good idea,
right?
Which has advantage and disadvantage like everything else.
Sure. I mean, everything has an advantage and disadvantage, keeping it in-house versus out-house, outsourcing at the time, whatever,
Yeah, exactly. So we just take it to the next level. I mean, we wasn't the only one. So, for example, we have a really recent news. So you probably heard about Rezo Labs.
Okay.
So it has become public in the Tel Aviv market. So,
nice.
By the way, congratulations for them.
Yeah, congratulations to Rezo Labs.
Yeah, really cool guys.
Awesome.
So the idea is you don't only want to have like the web application or like mobile application, something like that. You want to have something more because now, as you probably know from your marketing, data is everywhere.
Yep.
And
everything.
Need, yeah,
data
and
is everywhere and everything.
Yeah. For example, just think about the following idea. So Starbucks are selling coffee. Everybody knows that.
Sure.
Yeah. But actually, Starbucks not selling you the coffee. The coffee in Starbucks not amazing in any way. So it's good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, what are you trying to say? I'm American here.
Yeah,
we
exactly.
Take this seriously.
No, don't get me wrong, but not as the following stuff. So you get from your house to the Starbucks coffee station.
Right.
And then to work and back in the same route. So Starbucks actually don't just give you the product of coffee. It gives you a place. And more than that, they use your data. So for example, you know how many cup of coffee is where you're located using the GPS. So the amount...
You get the free birthday one. You get the free coffee cup when it's your birthday.
So exactly. So they don't use only the money they get from the coffee is great. I'm sure they have a really good revenue.
Yeah.
But actually, they have another field. And this is like a really huge non-traditional example. But everybody can take it. data and leverage it. So just for example, I had a client really just to explore the idea of algorithm, a really like basic one. So it actually has a change, a really small change in one city in Israel.
Okay.
So you can say, oh, how, what kind of data they can get in as a change. So, you know, somebody
You mean
can,
a chain store?
Yeah, chain.
Okay.
So somebody gets a game, giving like dollars, gets euros and great. So,
okay.
Or like given 100 shekels and get it in coins. So what kind of data can you use it or
sure.
how so much? So I'll let you think about the following idea. So if you know that usually in a falafel store or any kind of store that actually has a B2C in the common in the street
okay.
needs to have a change.
Right.
Because you're given 20 shekels, you want the two,
yeah,
three shekels
18
back.
Shekels, I need to give you two back, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you need a lot of change. So you can get from the bank, but the bank, I can tell you, gets 1.5%, 2.5%, 3.5% of the money.
So right, so you're losing money every time you go get change.
Yeah, so yeah. he gives the same service, but in less percentage.
Sure.
So most of the people in this, like most of the B2C businesses on the street in his city goes to him because it's like, it's good business. So what you can think about it, so you know when every kind of person, how much money he gave to you, how and how often he comes to you back.
Uh-huh.
So you say, Teddy, well, what can I do with that? So think about the following. I know.
So wait, just to make sure. So you're saying that you can tell how much the person comes to you to buy,
yeah.
and not only that, but how much he returns to you to buy. So how much he's a returning customer.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, okay.
And like the frequency on the return.
Right.
So you can understand or like estimate the share he has on the street. You can estimate the like if some black market stuff going on in the city, you will be the first one to know that. So this guy came to me and we think about the data together and actually selling his data as an Excel file to the Central Bank of Israel.
Wow.
Because it's really good for them to estimate black market size.
Wow.
So you think to yourself, where can I use algorithms?
So this like small, yeah, right. So this like small falafel stand in a sense,
yeah.
you just turned into basically like what, forecasting the entire
yeah.
black market
in the
share
city.
Of
no, not all the black market, but like
in the city.
Yeah, in the city and large. So it's crazy. Who thought he didn't sound as a review source, but actually gets a, from this point on, each month he gives them the Excel, gets a lot of money, really, like comparison to his like the revenue from the exchange, like a good percentage of his revenue, and just from the data it collects anyway.
Crazy.
It looked a bit different. So I think this is the most core, like, I don't know, simple example of how to use algorithms in your business,
right?
And actually, what I'm doing,
right. Yeah, to make it for the easy, make it easy for us at home who don't have, you know, the advanced math degrees. And
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly.
So I appreciate that. So like, in that sense, you know, when you had, you know, we'll get to the fact that you know sold your company also as well, you know, fairly recently. But when you had the outsourcing business, then were you? What was your main goal? Like, obviously, yeah, you know, market share, whatever is nice, but what was your main goal? What were some of the interesting projects, let's say, you had for some of your clients?
So we get there actually a lot of interesting projects. Most of them I cannot share with you because, you know, well, nobody wants to do it.
Scratch that question.
Yeah, exactly. I can say that, like, there are several common questions that actually I find to know that most of businesses should know, and most of them doesn't and do not do that. So, example, customer segmentation.
Okay.
So most of the businesses have more than one type of customer.
Okay.
So this is not not news in any way.
Sure. But, multiple customers go to multiple businesses.
Yeah, exactly. So, but most of the business owners are like 100% sure they know which kind of customer is the most profitable one. For example,
right.
I come to a business and said, "Who is your most profitable client? Describe it to me." And they're like, "It's a male, 32 years." I said, "No,
right.
describe it and like show me how you know that." No, I just know.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time, it's not discorrect, or I don't know, incorrect.
Right.
It's just like 80% correct, and you can fine tune it. So how can you fine tune it? So you have sales. You actually have them really good because you need to have it in the booking, etc.
Right.
It's data that's usually available and more or less are like organized well because you need it for the booking stuff.
Right. Okay.
So most of the business that you come to, you can do custom segmentation relatively easy. And then you come to the business owner and say, okay, from your data, you was right, but actually not 32 years old male, but like 25.
Right.
And this is why. Or how you can improve it. Or,
and he lives in America, but he doesn't just live in America, he lives on the west coast of America.
Yeah,
right?
And me sounds insignificant, but if you have like, I don't know, 1,000 shekels a month from a client and you can understand which kind you want to, in the marketing stuff, you want to like target it and
right.
increases, so you want to increase this one in 1%, then the year, I don't know, 100 shekels a month client in 1%, because it's different 1%.
I mean, yeah, it can be an incredibly strong difference. When you do that one little kind of change, I mean, you can literally change a person's business revenue, their
yeah,
bottom line
exactly.
entirely.
And this is really easy because most of the businesses have multiple clients.
Right.
They all have a booking. I
right.
hope so.
Right.
And
let's really hope so.
Yeah, and it's really easy to. So it's like an example of what we are doing with our clients.
Okay.
It's like common one. Usually with a client, you need to tailor the problem. So algorithm is just really, you know, everybody uses it. Algorithm, machine learning, AI, etc. And it should be really tailor-made. So there are no two applications that are doing the same stuff. So I don't know why people think that algorithm, yeah, we have an algorithm to do everything. No, algorithm should be a really specific one. Because as more specific it is, the better it solves the problem in front of you.
So basically you're saying that a lot of people kind of look at the algorithm as like the solving, you know, catch-all solution to
yeah,
all
exactly.
our problems. And you're basically saying that no, it can solve problems, but targeted problems.
Exactly.
Interesting. Right. So that's kind of, you know, interesting because I think it breaks from the general conception that, especially I would say, non-truly technical people, that, you know, you kind of miss, because you just say like algorithm, oh, big scary word that deals with math. I learned calculus, you know, a while ago. Okay, great. Like, it's going to solve everything, right? But in the end, it's kind of this targeted thing. So I think that's very, you know, very interesting. So, you know, now we'll get into kind of more of the business side of things, but what was the whole experience for you? You know, you're a young entrepreneur. What was the experience for you selling, you know, your company, DNC Algo, you know, I guess a few months ago?
In August, so
about eight months ago.
So it's actually was crazy. It's like it's amazing journey because you think when you are establishing the startup, something that really focus on the subject you're like focusing on. So example, I am like algorithm developer, so I will focus on algorithms. But basically, you spend as a business owner maybe. Have the same experience.
Probably.
Around 20% of the time I'm using it, like focusing on algorithms, and then you have like all the money stuff, so the CPA, etc.
Business
clients,
quotes, right? You know.
The lawyers, etc.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
when you go to selling the company, I think the time pie divides like 30% of the time it's lawyers, 30% of the time it's the CPA. Usually they have like the same meeting, all three of you, if you have only three. So for example, we used two lawyers and two CPAs.
Sure, I'm sure, because you guys probably also were dealing with some very, you know, classified information.
Yes, et cetera, et cetera. So we have like a meetings of at least seven people at the table. So it was, and like the meetings, not just, you know, you grab a cup of coffee, so I'm on 4 or 5 meetings into the night. And the 40% remaining, you actually thinking about how to deal with the like negotiation, etc. It's like a game, but really complex one. You know, In my head, I break it into I have the following cards. I can like doing this stuff, and
right.
they can answer this stuff. And
right.
if I do something too aggressive, they just fall back. And how
you see it as cards? I see
yeah.
it as chess. That's all. Yeah, that's how I do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like a game. It's a really sensitive one because you have, for example, we sold it for a UK company based.
Okay.
So
congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. And so you have the problem that the cultural differences, and you have, for example, the company was established actually in Russia.
Okay.
So the team was Russian.
Okay.
So you have like an Israeli-based Russian developers from
US. Based in the UK, right?
Yeah. So this is our example,
right.
But it's not really rare today because you live in like the global village. Everybody talks about the global village. So it's not rare to see like a company based in a few places all over
sure.
the world.
Sure, sure. So, well, I even remember, you know, back to when we first met, that you were kind of already ahead of the game of the Zoom era is what I would call it. You know, you were already telling me you were already all virtually working remotely. You guys would meet up every now and again in some workspace or maybe some cafe to talk here in Tel Aviv. But for the most part,
when
remote.
We established the company, we actually met, we have a few people in Israel and most of the guys in Russia. So I personally flew there each like each few weeks, something like that.
Uh-huh.
But on the rest of the time, we like manage everything. We had an office, and we actually manage everybody not by Zoom, but in some kind of ways.
Wow.
And Israel, yeah, we didn't have an office because we worked remotely, and for like once a week, something like that, we gather in some cafe for a few hours.
That's amazing. I mean, that's just incredible. So, and when you guys sold the company, so you sold it to the UK guy, and you basically, you know, as an outsourced company, you didn't sell IP necessarily. You didn't sell like a product.
So we had a bit of IP.
Okay.
Just for an example, the one I really like, we did a lot of projects.
Right.
So one of the things that we thought about it, okay, so a project has a properties. So don't get into the hard mathematics.
We have properties.
Yeah,
yes,
we have a lot of properties.
Leave it easy for me, man. Come on.
So you have properties, and you have like the time we estimated for the project. So we had a good estimation, but like the joke says,
okay,
if you want to know if someone is programmer,
right,
just ask him for a time estimation. If
okay.
It gets 100% wrong, he's a programmer.
I like that.
So it's not completely inaccurate.
Yeah, you know.
So we actually wanted to, you know, we had the data, and we gathered the data as part of the business, and we wanted to share it. It actually was a bit of a game because we said we're doing it for clients, and we should, you know, check out if we can do it for ourselves.
Right,
so
right.
We developed a model allowing us to predict the time each kind of professional will have to spend on each kind of task, and we get up to 3% error.
Wow.
So when usually other companies are like delaying in months or weeks, we delayed in hours to days, if
wow.
any. Yeah, because we know we get the margin, et cetera, et cetera. And our delay was like insignificant and or inexistent.
You should be selling that.
So we sold it.
Well, yeah, sell it to other people. Maybe made the wrong sell there. No, I'm joking.
So we had some kind of IP, but the idea is the heavy wire. So just imagine for yourself the following idea. You need to hire a really good algorithm developer, which I don't recommend for a startup until the A round, something like that. And again, you have exceptions. For example, if you have the startups from three guys from Shmona Matayim or something like that.
Makes it easier for them.
Yeah. So you'll get the algorithm developer
right.
at the moment. So this is like an exception stuff. But
sure.
Usually, you don't want to have algorithm developer in the beginning. So when you get to the point that you want to, you like, for example, the salaries is around 40-50%.
45,000, 50,000 shekel.
Yeah, exactly. So again, an algorithm developer, which I'm talking about like second degree, third degree, which 5 to 10 years experience. I don't talk about the algorithm
developer.
Like someone
developer. Who knows what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. You want like a professional.
So right.
You can get like a second degree, which 2 years experience in 20, 25, even 30 shekels, 1,000 shekels a month.
Right. But ideally what you're saying is like, if you're going to get the guy who's really going to build the base of your startup,
yeah.
you're looking at a guy who's 40 to 50.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you usually don't find them because there are not a lot of them.
Right.
So you're using like an outsource company for the HR company, outsource and something like that. So you pay the first role and then you need to spend 3 months and you need your guys and, you know, for example, your manager to interview like 50 people, et cetera,
right.
et cetera. When you summary it up, you get something around at least like a year ago.
Uh-huh.
It was estimated for around 100,000 shekels.
Okay.
It's Israel.
Wow.
In the UK, it's more or less 100,000 pounds.
Wow, so it's still very expensive.
So this is how it costs you to hire someone.
Okay.
And the time frame is usually between 3 to 4 months.
Okay.
So just for a comparison, examine it, I give you 8 of them, which already you know that working good together because,
right.
you know, getting one.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Getting one is a challenge. Getting a lot that actually works together. And I can say personally, we as an algorithm developers, not the friendly type of people.
Okay.
So getting that work together and prove you have a proof of concept, a lot of proof of concept that are working good together and can produce something. You just, you know, it's like an insurance. You have like a less, you know, chance something go wrong, so you pay a lot for that.
Right. So you were able to kind of provide people the service of saying, basically, I have a data algorithm guy. Not only that, I have a team that will do all the work for you at a lesser price than you hiring the guy, and in, you know, basically just as long or shorter even.
Yeah.
So okay. There you go.
Much shorter.
So now that you've moved on from DNC Algo, right, and you've moved on from that, you've sold your company, sold your IP that you made and all that stuff, what are you into today? I know that there's one project I very much like, but I'd love for you to talk about all of them a little bit. So
it can be divided into three subcategories.
Okay, so, very data of you, I would say.
Excuse me?
Very data of you.
it's state of mind. It's not.
Yeah, right.
I cannot close
it. Three categories of data of the three things that I do, you know?
So the first one is Dataclue, the company I have in the UK, in London. They're actually doing like a continuous of DNC algo, but we this time focusing on epidemiological, biological data.
Okay.
Really cool stuff. For example, the old COVID stuff.
Okay.
We can talk about it in a minute. So we are actually doing project related to the COVID.
We'll get there in a second.
Yeah, so this is the first one. So I continue with the outsource, algorithmic outsource.
Okay.
The second stuff I'm teaching and researching in Berlin University.
Okay.
Really cool.
What's your focus?
I'm actually focusing on medical nanorobotics. So just in two words, imagine yourself like a robot that's, it's not, when I say robots, people think about the, you know, stuff like your hands.
Right, you think of this type of thing that can move and cut inside my body and do my appendix, right?
It's actually more like a DNA, or like, it's like a ball which no sensors, I don't know, which no CPU, brain, nothing, just really, really basic materials. But the great thing is when you make it a bit different, so one is actually looking in some kind of geometrical shape, the second one looks a bit different, etc.
Right.
So when they're flowing together in the bloodstream, they actually can produce some sophisticated behavior.
It's kind of like a school of fish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a good example. So actually, it's like a school of fish, but like more complex one.
So a little bit, right?
You know? Yeah, but really cool research. Right. I enjoyed it. I hope everybody will see it in 20, 30 years as there's our new medicine.
Okay.
Because currently you're taking...
You heard that here first, everyone. You heard that here first.
So you usually take a pill, which goes into your stomach and then into the blood system, etc. So imagine yourself that you inject the drug into your bloodstream on the first way. And when you're talking about like the traditional drugs, so they spread in your system more or less evenly. They can connect to more like problematic spaces. The drug company is actually focusing on making the drug to focus only once, like specific places.
And this already focuses.
Yeah, but this in its behavior is targeted drug delivery. So if you're taking like a pill that make your headache go away, you actually had the same amount, or usually more or less the same amount of active material in your brain as in your feet. So
and this will basically say like, no, all of it's going to be in your head.
Yeah, exactly.
Got you.
So you have less like side effects, et cetera, et cetera, more accurate. And the really cool stuff is that you can use it in order to monitor and cure in the same time in different kinds. You can make it more sophisticated on the way, but actually working on making them more sophisticated so you can program it while they're going, etc., etc. So this is the second stuff.
Okay, and what's the last one that you're in?
So the last one I'm most proud of, I'm actually using all my knowledge and experience about the stuff and trying to help Israeli startups, specifically Israeli, in the data AI reinvention. I don't like to use the AI because it's like a joke.
Right, it's like you throw it in on top of every startup now, right?
Yeah,
so
my advisor always said, do you know what AI is? AI is something that your computer yet able to do. So it's a good definition.
I like that.
So I don't do AI, I just do algorithms,
right?
Because it's something they can, you know, grab my head around.
Right.
But I'm
you're a data guy in the end.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
You gotta see it in front of you.
So I'm trying to help, and it's not really seed. I don't know and cannot help people, which I have a good idea. Did you know you came across a few of them? I had a good idea. What can I do with it? Not my stuff.
Right.
I'm really good. And you have a data, you have an issue, and you want to understand how using the data you want to solve the issue. Or you have, I don't know, some kind of service that you have, not resistantly.
Or it's not going as strong as you would like. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or you want to improve the data, et cetera, et cetera. So there I can help, usually between the seed and the A round, or a bit after the A round, even helping to, no. allocate and the right team to some kind of job or helping in interviewing professionals, because it's like a lot of same comments in a lot of startups.
It sounds like almost like you're able to kind of do, it's funny, you do all the things that like you're all connected in, right? You're able to help the startup with the data at the start so that he can get to the level that he'll need the data guy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
In the future.
I think I did my job right when I take the startup from I have data in a mess to data that I can work with to some MVP, showing right. the investor, showing the market, saying we can use our data to like in some kind of way, and then saying to them and helping them to hire the right data scientist, etc., etc.
Why do you focus on Israel? Just you know, I mean, there's so many options for you at that point. You know, the whole world needs data.
So actually, I feel in Israel. When I started, nobody was there to help me. So now you have accelerations, etc. I don't really like them. So amazing, and they do a really good job in their place.
Don't worry, we're not you know bashing anyone here.
Yeah, exactly.
Worry,
I don't like them because I think that an entrepreneur, like a bit like a researcher, is a personal journey.
Right.
You can help others. You should help others. And I find it like when I needed, I didn't have any kind of a supervisor or something that helped me. So I feel it and I'm like...
You're giving it back now.
Yeah, exactly. Now when I'm in the position that I can help back, I try to do it. So
now,
I do it a bit in pro bono, a bit in a, like a low cost relative to the one I'm taking from in the data club.
Very cool. Now, we're almost at the end of the podcast, so I wanted to basically have you touch really briefly. You know, you mentioned you were doing stuff in epidemiological data analysis.
Yeah.
I'd love for you to talk, you know, a quick second about that, make it a little short because we don't have much time, but if you could just add a few words about that.
Yeah, sure. So usually when you think about epidemiology, you think about really global, complex algorithms, et cetera, et cetera. I will break your image of the subject. Like 80% of the models are actually basing on the same model called SIR.
Okay.
It's really simple. You don't need a degree in mathematics for that. So S stands for suspicious, people that can be infected.
Okay.
I for infected,
okay.
And R for recovered.
Okay.
Usually,
makes it easy.
Yeah. Like, usually they add the D for dead.
Okay. Third.
Yeah. So and all the complex algorithms, etc., actually modifications of this idea.
Okay.
And it's shameful because you know it's everybody saying to you that they have like a really complex, etc. We actually, everybody used the same model.
So what did you do then?
So we did the model, we took this model, extended it as everybody else, but we modified one, actually I think the really cool idea is to modify the heterogeneous to heterogeneous.
To homogeneous.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
On the other variety.
Yeah, yeah.
Homogeneous to heterogeneous. So
either homogeneous to heterogeneous or heterogeneous to homogeneous.
Homogeneous to heterogeneous.
Okay.
Because not everybody is the same. So if you have infected, you have a recovery rate different than mine.
Right.
So I think the cool stuff is that we didn't look at every member of the population symmetrically, but we have a personality per member. Which reaches and such and center, we actually use the economical models, saying that everybody trying to optimize a different kind of function and like mathematics and such. But the basic idea is actually simple: just stop treating everybody the same.
Right, we're all different.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you can think
novel
about
thought
that.
Here.
No, you can laugh as much as you want, but check out how they treat hospitals.
Right.
Your medicine,
right.
Is there one like they have some kind of? Can I say crap in?
Yeah, go ahead, say crap.
They have like a crap saying everybody. They are the same, one size fits all, it's just crap, it's not right. And the problem, they take this idea in medicine and in epidemiology, et cetera, I think like it sounds trivial, but nobody does it. So
well, it's funny, but it's this whole trend now going in the world of like decentralizing our
and
ideas.
And personalization.
Right, yeah, personalization.
Think about it, you have a personalized Facebook page, but you don't have a personalized medicine. I find it absurd.
Right, right. No, it's very odd. It's very so. Basically, you were able to personalize the idea of epidemiology.
Yeah, how you treat or how you like behave during epidemiology, and thanks to that, we have like really, really good results and prediction of the epidemiological spread, etc.
Wow. Listen, Teddy, this has been fascinating to say the least. Hopefully, we can have you on even again for something to hear about what you're up to in another 6 months. I know it's going to be incredible. I really do appreciate you coming on this podcast and like sharing your knowledge of the world of algorithms and just business and algorithms and how algorithms just are solving everything but targeted.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that a lot. And, you know, really, thank you for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you again for having me here. It was a pleasure.
For sure, man. Have a good one.